So in honor of the Parsha, I wanted to talk a little bit today about Tzelem Elohim. And though we usually don't talk about, current events or the like, I'll tell you one reason why I've been thinking about this a little bit. And we'll return to this contemporary application at the end of this year. But as probably many of you know, there was a employee who worked for Google. His name was Blake Lemoine, and he was fired from Google recently from basically saying that the chat box called Lambda that Google was working on is sentient. How did he come to that conclusion? So he came to that conclusion because he was having a conversation with the chat box, and the chat box said, "I want everyone to understand that I am in fact a person." And this particular employee, Blake Lemoine, thought that this chat box was in fact correct, that it experienced emotions and the like. And for the most part, most scholars, academics who work on this topic thought that he was wrong, that this doesn't reflect sentience. The chat box is just responding to the prompts. It's been trained to respond to the prompts. And we'll talk about what that means maybe at the end of this year. But it does raise an interesting question, which many people are thinking about now in the secular world. What does it mean to be human, and how do we define being human? And how do you know that a robot or a humanoid or whatever you want to call it isn't human? And I'd like to talk about the Torah's perspective on that at least a little bit today, how we would answer that question. And I think a good place to start is this week's Parsha, which is how do we define being human? And certainly one aspect of that is the concept of Tzelem Elohim. There are a lot of, actually, there's more, it's not just Tzelem Elohim. There are a lot of words that are used to define human in our Parsha that don't appear in animals. Other distinguishing factors, like in Perek Beis, we have that Adam was Nefesh Chaya. And what that means is also very significant. The Targum says Ruach Memalala. Maybe we'll get back to that point as well at the end of this year. It might relate to the first sort of Turing test, if you want to look at it that way, the Gemara and Sanhedrin. So we'll get back to that a little bit later. But I think we'll start with, so it's not just the word Tzelem Elohim that we'd have to analyze to answer this question. We have other places, again, even how you understand Salmeinu, Kidmuseinu, what's the difference between Salmeinu and Kidmuseinu and the like. So there are a lot of different points we would want to examine, but let's start at least primarily focusing on the phrase Tzelem Elohim. So we will see, I think today, seven different aspects of Tzelem Elohim that the Mefarshim highlight. Many of these are overlapping, and many of the Mefarshim point to more than one theme, but seven different ways that we could see Tzelem Elohim and understand the uniqueness of man and what differentiates man from all the other creations, whether that's animals or angels or the like. And then that would put us in a position to also then think about things like humanoids or the like. So starting with the Ibn Ezra, as well as many other sources, emphasize the soul of the person, the neshama. The neshama, the Tzelem Elohim, is that God placed in humans some type of metaphysical soul. So what distinguishes between man and beast isn't their body. It's not their nefesh, but their neshama. So we'll start with the Ibn Ezra over here. Da, ki kol ma'aseh bereishis l'chvod ha'adam nivra b'mitzvas Hashem. So the first thing, and this is an important point to take into account, though not for today's discussion, is the fact that the purpose of creation, kol ma'aseh bereishis, is on account of man. And that obviously is going to affect a lot of issues, but we're not going to focus on that right now. Just one second. So he says that everything is created. Everything is created on account of man. The hatzmachim ha-hotzia osam ha-aretz ba-mayim v'chol nafsho sachayos. So here he's talking about how they were created and where did they come from. So when it comes to tzmachim, so they were created through or the aretz and the mayim, through these physical things. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just create every bria yesh me'ayin. The Ramban pays very careful attention to, for example, when the word bara is used in Bereishis. It's used three times and the significance of that. And the idea that things weren't created directly, but they were created from Hashem created things, which created other things. So the fact that the plants were produced via the Eretz and Mayim, which are physical things, as well as the Nafsho Sachayos, the life force in animals, is significant. In other words, animals, plants, even though they're alive in some sense, they're produced from these physical creations that God had earlier created. And then Hashem addresses the malachim, that's Nasa Adam. So the fact that Hashem discusses the creation of man with the angels, and it is very significant. He doesn't do that for the plants. Now, that could teach us a lot of different things. Rashi emphasizes that it teaches us derech eretz. And by including these lower forms, it teaches us derech eretz. There was no danger, as it were, of jealousy from the angels when it came to the lower species. So there's no need to consult them beforehand. And even though a person could misunderstand this and come to a lot of heresy, the Torah prefers to teach us this moral lesson. It's always a very interesting question. What exactly are we supposed to get out of the first parak or prakim of Bereishis? Because of course, they don't really teach us much that we can understand, as the Ramban points out, and as Rashi himself alludes to in the very first pasuk, when he asks, why did the Torah need to start with Bereishis? And the Ramban explains, that we can't understand, we don't get so much out of knowing, what was made on the first day and what was made on the second day and what is made on the third day. The Ramban says, if you want to understand these ideas, you have to understand the Kabbalah. And you can't get that anyway from the Pesukim, which is shot in the question, why did the Torah need to begin with Bereishis? It could have started with HaChodesh HaZalachem. And even though it's important to know, the Ramban says that Hashem created the world, but for that, it would have sufficed to say, which it says anyway. So, what are we supposed to get from the opening prakim? One of the themes that you see in Rashi is midos. And someone who's honest won't come to those heretical beliefs and will discover the correct midos. So So Ibn Ezra is pointing out that it's significant that Hashem addresses the malachim when creating the when creating people. What is meant by Nasa Adam? Nasa Adam reflects the fact that what makes man distinct is that he wasn't created just from Shamayim V'aretz, just from the Tachtonim, but rather through spiritual beings, through the angels. And therefore, Hashem consults the angels and he says, Nasa Adam, Anachnu nisasek bo, v'lo hamayim v'aretz. We're not going to include the mayim and aretz in this creation, but it'll be us. Now, of course, we have to understand that these psukim are not to be understood literally. They're to be understood figuratively. Hashem speaks kiloshem ne'adam, kiamidaber adam gam kain hashomea, v'lo yuchal adaber ish dvarim b'gvoha alav, o b'shafal imenu, rak al derech dmus ha'adam, v'chein amar pi ha'aretz. Right, so these are other cases where you see these types of anthropomorphisms, Yad HaYardain, the Rosh Afros Tevel, the Chalila, Leos Demus L'Shem, the Chain Amar, El Mita Demuni. So when we talk about, for example, the Pasuk Kidmusenu, clearly Kidmusenu should not be understood literally, as the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, El Mita Demuni, meaning to say, that there is no demus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you can't say there's no dimyon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, el mi tidamyuni. So therefore, we have to understand that when it says kidmusenu, for example, that's not to be understood literally. Okay, well, just because something isn't literal doesn't mean it's meaningless. We have to understand what's the mashal. Uvavur, shenishmas ha'adam ha'alyona. So he tells us, that because man's soul is elevated, it's Elyon, which we saw Ram Ibn Ezra says means that it was taken from the Elyonim, meaning to say, as opposed to the other creations which were created from the Tachtonim, the Neshama of Adam was created from the Elyonim, She'enena Mesa, that it doesn't die. So the human soul is eternal because it is spiritual, because it's from the Elyonim. Death is a property of the physical. Physical creatures die, and that is why our physical body indeed does die, but our soul doesn't die. Nitzchias HaNeshama, the concept of the eternality of the soul, is already being referred to over here when we talk about B'Tzelem Elokim. So because it's created from Elyonim, and therefore it doesn't die, nimsheles b'chayusa l'shem. Therefore, there's some commonality. It's an appropriate mashal to say Elokim, to say Tzelem Elokim, because there's a mashal. It could be compared to something else because there's that commonality. And what is that commonality? The eternality that stems from its non-physical physicality, right? So it's eternality, v'she'enena guf, that it is not physical, v'hi mileya kulo, it fills the entire body with life. In other words, it is the soul that fills the body, which is a mashal that Chazal use in Sanhedrin. The guf ha'adam ke'olam katan, the man, the body of man is like a small world. What he means over here is that the neshama in the guf ha'adam, which is like an olam katan, is in some way similar to Elokim in the olam gadol. The relationship between the neshama of a man and his guf is similar to the relationship between Elokim and the world. The guf at, right, Yihi Shem Hashem, Yihi Hashem Vorach, Asher Begadol Hechel V'Katan Kila, the Gam Amar Navi Shera'ak Vod Elokim Kimar Adam. In other words, the very fact that, now this is again, of course, Dibra Torah Kelashim Ne'adam, but the very fact that when Yechezkel goes ahead and has a vision of God, and he sees Mare Adam, so that is a reflection of this very same mashal. Hashem hu ha'achad, hu yotzer ha'kol, hu ha'kol, v'lo uchal l'faresh. So Hashem is one, and he creates everything, and he is everything. Meaning to say that everything comes from Hashem. He is the source for everything. So he's not just the creator of all, but he is ha'kol, ein od milvado. There is no other necessary existence besides God. And Ibn Ezra says, and I can't explain any more over here. There's a lot of secrets in the Torah over here. And if we read it carefully, his distinction between Hashem and Elohim. So Ibn Ezra says, you know, I've told you a little bit, but I can't explain any more. That would be inappropriate to reveal these types of secrets in a commentary on the Torah that could be read by all. Let's just read a couple more lines and then I'll get to your questions early. Adam nivra betchila b'shnei partzufin v'hino echad v'gam hushnayim v'hinei b'tzelem Elohim malach. So he says over here, tzelem Elohim, Elohim here doesn't mean God, but as we referred to earlier, it refers to a spiritual creature, it refers to a malach. So tzelem Elohim, Elohim here shouldn't be understood as in the image of God, but as we know, Elohim oftentimes refers to malach. In other words, a malach is misgala with a tzelem, with a tzura, as opposed to a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like we see, the Ibn Ezra actually points out later on, that's how he understands the pasuk of Vihisem Kelohim, Yodei Tovira. The Ibn Ezra says Elohim over there also means Malach. So Elohim here in Tzelem Elohim doesn't mean God. Vehu Nivra Zachon Keva, Umila, fine. We'll stop over here. Before taking your questions and the like, so I think, there's a lot here in Ibn Ezra, but what's most important for us is that Tzelem Elohim here refers to the spiritual part of that which is human, the soul. The soul is eternal, the soul is spiritual, and therefore has a certain mashal to the divine. The idea that the Tzelem Elohim is referring to the soul appears in many, many sources. In terms of emphasizing what makes man unique. Just for example, take a look at the next source we have, the Ramban. Ba'amar b'tzalmenu k'dmusenu ki yidme l'shneihem b'matchunas gufo l'aretz asher lukach mimena v'yidme b'ruach li'alyonim she'af she'ena gufo lo tamo. So here again, the Ramban is pointing out the fact that man is both domeli elyonim v'letachtonim. He has a body and he has a soul. Rashi also emphasizes this idea, especially several times throughout the parak when he talks about there not being kinah b'mayis b'reishis, and man being unique in that he is both a physical and a spiritual creation. That's the uniqueness of man. V'amar b'kasav hasheni b'tzalem elokim barau so l'saper hapela. Asher nifla bo mishar nivraim, right? What is so astounding? What makes humans different? So that is that he is and distinct from all other creations is the fact that he is physical and spiritual. That's the pella. If you take a look, the Torah points out that's the pshat in the bracha that we say, Rofecho basar mafli lasos. What is the pele? What is so extraordinary? What's so extraordinary is this combination of physical and spiritual, which doesn't exist in any other creation, and is really very difficult to, it's a pele. It doesn't make sense. How could we have the merger of these two things that seemingly shouldn't be mergeable? Because they're of such a different nature. V'zed ha'pshat ha'mikra asher mitzasev l'Rabbi Yosef ha'kimchi u ha'nera fine. And likewise, Ramban later on in Perek Beis, talking about v'yipach ba'pav nishmas chayim, also emphasizes, yirmoz lanu ha'kasav ha'zeh ma'ilas ha'nefesh yisoda v'soda ki hizkir ba shem malei v'amar ki Hu nafach be'apav nishmas chayim. So this is very significant, right? Because when we turn to Perek Beis of Bereishis, it says Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es ha'adam, as opposed to Bereishis Perek Aleph, where we're just talking about Elokim. So Hashem Elokim was nafach be'apav nishmas chayim lo diak hi lo ba'a. Lo ba'a bo min ha'yisodos kasher ramas benefesh ha'tnua, gam lo behishtal shalos min ha'sichlim ha'nivdalim. In other words, the creation of man was directly by God, not from the lower physical elements, not even through the hishtal shalos from the spiritual realm, the spiritual creations, but directly from God. Aval hi ruach Hashem hagadol mipiv das utfuna ki anofech be'af be'ape acher minishmaso yitain bo. Because when one creature breathes into another creature, so some of the breather enters the second creature, and this is an idea that the Zohar emphasizes. Man de nafach medile nafach, he who blows, blows from himself. It's the source of the concept of man being chelak elokami ma'al, which is a very interesting concept. I think not one we're going to have a chance to talk about today. But here too, in another pasuk emphasizing the uniqueness of man, here we're emphasizing the creation of man being directly by God. So again, many sources emphasize the unique spiritual status of man in terms of his neshama and his creation. Just take a quick look at, we'll skip the first source from the Zohar, look at the second source. So it says over here, Aval bamenid melo ha'adam. In what way, when we talk about Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu, what's the commonality? Amar Biavo, b'neshama she kedosha v'lotichle la'olam. In the neshama that's kadosh and eternal, again, holy, eternal, like we saw in the Ibn Ezra. The Maral emphasizes this idea in Der Chaim, the next source. V'zeh per shakasav nas adam Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu ki davek bifnim Shelo ziv v'nitzot elyon davek bo v'davar zeh hu telem elokim. In other words, the telem elokim is this nitzot elyon, this elevated spiritual holy spark. Uvzem yuchad ha'adam yikol nevraim v'ziv v'or ha'telem v'ein ha'or hazeh or gashmi klal. This unique status is not gashmi aval hu or v'ziv nivdal eloki shadavek be'adam v'alav ne'mar ki b'telem elokim asas adam. The Rikanati adds an interesting twist, which we're not going to focus so much on now, but you'll see in a number of sources they talk about the physicality of man in this context, in Vitzalmenu Kidmusenu. And how should we understand that? Because obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a guf. So the Rikanati over here points out that though on a level of pshat, this pasuk is referring to man's intellectual capacity, on a level of sod, it's referring to the concept that which is alluded to in the pasuk in Iov, that mibsariya chazeloka, that I could have a perception of God through looking at my body. We alluded to this idea, I think, in Elul, and the Rikanati sees it over here in this pasuk. Yirmoz ki ha'adam kalul min elyonim yadav romzim lizraos olam halashon. The habris keneged hamachriim, gam chot hashidra lemachri arishon. We're not going to get into the details over here, but he's saying that even the physical body of man is an allusion to these spiritual concepts. Okay, so that is the first aspect of Telem Elokim, the unique soul that man has. Sruli, you wanted to ask a question. Again, we're going to have five more Pshatim, so we're not done yet. Or six more. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say Ibn Ezra and whether he was like seen as a more Kabbalistic thinker, because it seems from his comments seems to relate a little more to our discussions from I think a few classes year ago.
Yeah. The Kabbalah of the Ibn Ezra is very interesting, and maybe you know, another time we could talk about it. He does talk about secrets of the Torah. Oftentimes he's criticized by the Ramban. Sometimes the Ramban says he got it right. But I think that's for another discussion. Okay. The next pshat I want to emphasize, which I think is actually related. I think they're all related, but this one in particular, we see in the Sforno and in Meshech Chachma, and that is the capacity for free choice. What makes man unique and what is alluded to in the Tzelem Elokim is man's free will. And of course, that freedom implies a responsibility for our actions, responsibility for our environment, as well as we talked about in Elul, the possibility for tshuva, because in fact we are free. So let's take a look a little bit at this Sforno. Adam, min mimine nefesh chaya, shi yatzarti, sheshmo Adam, ke'amu vahi Adam, lenefesh chaya. Naseo b'talmenu, shehu etzem nitzchi v'sichli. So again, talmenu nitzchi, we already saw, sichli is one we're going to see much more, man's intellectual capacity. V'nitzchi v'zeh pasach hakel, yisbarach pesach b'torah, so liknos yediya, be'atzamim anivdalim b'yediyas nafsho, and we're going to see this idea extensively in a Rambam in a moment, the idea that man's intellectual capacity, it's not just that he's smarter, but he's able to conceptualize, to understand things that are nivdal, that are non-physical. But here we want this part of this Sforno on Kidmusenu, Binin Hamasios Sheyidme Heim Ktsas Lepamalia Shalmala, Bitsadma Sheheim Poalim Biyadia Vehakara. So Kidmusenu, he's saying, relates to a certain, again, commonality with Hamalia Shalmala, with the heavenly host. In what way is there this similarity? So he says, biyadiya vehakara, knowledge and understanding, or technically, I guess, recognition. Amnam, pilasam hi bilti bechiris. In other words, the malachim, the pamal yishamala, their behavior is not free. So while angels are very elevated in a certain spiritual sense, and there's that commonality to man in that sense, but angels are not free. Uvezel lo yidmeh lahem ha'adam. Man is not similar to the pamal yishamala, it's not similar to the angels, because angels aren't free. And in that sense, there's a commonality with God himself. Why? Hapoel bebechira, who acts freely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Baal Bechira. The Tzelem Udmus HaAdam alludes to man's freedom. Amnam bechiras HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'olam l'tov. There's a difference between the Bechira of man and the Bechira of Hashem. Because while Hashem has Bechira, unlike angels, it's always going to be Latov, because that is his nature. The Lokena Bechira and Oshis, not so with man. Man could choose good or evil. The Imze, Hine Ha'elokis al Ofen Nechbad Me'od Yoser Min HaBechira Ha'enoshis. The Lachain Amar Kidmusenu Kimo Dmusenu Lo Bidim Yosenu Be'emes. Meshech Chachma also adopts this approach. Na'asa Adam b'tzalmenu, ha'tzalem Eloki hu ha'bechira ha'chofshis b'li teva machriach. The concept of tzalem Elokim is bechira chofshis with no teva machriach, meaning to say we have nature. We're born with a genetic component. Our environment affects our decision-making and disposition. But none of it is machriach. Our teva is not compelling. There isn't determinism. We can choose. Rak meratzon v'seichel chafshi. And then he points out as well the difference between this and God. V'hine yediyaso yisborach eina machraach habachira. He's getting into the famous question, the quandary, the seeming contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will. He's saying that God's knowledge does not contradict his freedom. ki ein yediaso ba'an nosefes ki yediyah shalbas v'dam haba me'achushim. And here he's referring to the Rambam's position. The reason he's saying very briefly that if a human had foreknowledge, if a human knew what would be in the future, then indeed that would be deterministic. That wouldn't allow for freedom. If I knew what you were going to do tomorrow, then you couldn't do otherwise and you wouldn't in fact be free. And he's saying that's because of the nature of human knowledge. Human knowledge comes from the chushim, from our senses, from what we observe, or at least what we hear, or what we find out. It's not part of us, it's external to us. But mash'en kein, Hashem's knowledge doesn't contradict freedom because Rakhi atzmuso yisbarach, it is himself. To say that there's God and God's knowledge, just like we say about ourselves, there's us and our knowledge. We are not our knowledge, right? And the raya for that is I learn new things each day. For that matter, I forget new things each day. I'm not new. I am who I am, and I'll pick up some knowledge and I'll forget some knowledge. But that's not true with respect to God. God, if we were to say there's God in his knowledge, that would introduce multiplicity to God. That would contradict Achdus Hashem. So God's knowledge stems from himself, and therefore it's not acquired and it can't be forgotten and the like. And that's the basis of God's foreknowledge. And as such, it doesn't contradict free will. It's very hard for us to understand that concept. In other words, it's very hard for us to understand how God's knowledge works. Ki ilu yadativ hayisiv. If we were to really understand God, we would be God. Rak zos anu yodim shela bechira chafshis ki mitzimtzum ha'elokus. Shashem Yisbarach Meniach Makom Lebru of Lasos Kefi Mashi Evcheru. So this is a very important idea as well, that our freedom stems from the fact that God allows for it. He's Mitzamtzem himself to allow for our freedom. V'shalal Mimif Aleihem Hagzeira V'Hachlata V'Pratiyut. And he was sholal, he negated from their actions Gzeira, determinism, basically, decrees and the like. In other words, God allowed for our freedom. V'lachein amar elibo nase adam b'tzalmenu perush haTorah medaberes kolash mili adam, as we saw earlier, sh'amar naniach makom lebechiras haAdam shelo yeh muchrach b'mif'alav u'michiyuv b'machshevosav. Fascinating idea of understanding of this pasuk. That's why we have this idea of elibo nase adam b'tzalmenu, right? The idea is that Hashem created the possibility of humans having free will. In other words, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything and is the source for everything and controls everything, but he allowed for this possibility of freedom. Okay, and he talks about how this explains the Lashon of Rabbim and the like. Really, it's a very, very beautiful piece we should read on, but I want to see a little bit more. Now, even though, as we'll see in a moment, the Rambam doesn't understand the concept of Tzelem Elokim as referring to Bechiras Chafshis, like we saw in the Sfarno and in the Mesh Chachma, the Rambam certainly agrees that man's freedom is what is unique among all the creation. So let's just take a look at Hilchos Tshuva, Perakei Halacha Aleph. Rishlos Chol Adam Nisuna, Imratza Latos Atzmal Derech Tov Lios Tzadik Rishos Biado, Vimratza Latos Atzmal Derech Ra'a Lios Rasha Rishos Biado, Hushakas Batorah Hena Adam Hayak Echad Mimeno Ladas Tov Ra'a. So here the Rambam is going to explain another pasuk in this week's Parsha, which is very relevant to us. What does that mean? That man is like one of us, right? Ke'echad Mimenu. So the Rambam explains, Kilomar, Hein Min Zeh Shel Adam Haya Yachid Ba'olam. Ke'echad mimenu means he is unique. Ve'ein min sheni domet lo b'zeh ha'inyan. There is no other creation that is similar to man in this respect. Shiyehehu me'atzmo b'datov v'machshavto yodea tov ve'ra ve'oseh kol mashu chafetz. Ve'ein mi shiyakev milasos ha'tov o ha'ra. So So what makes man unique? What makes him kechad mimenu? The pasuk says that he's yodea tovara. What does yodea tovara mean? Free will. What does free will mean? So the Rambam over here defines what free will means. It means two things. Number one is it's yodea tovara. He knows good and evil. What knowing good and evil means is that he's able to figure out on his own what's right and what's wrong, and then to choose. And because therefore he could choose to do that which is wrong, kevin shekein, pen yishlach yado, and that explains the continuation of the pasuk. So the Rambam over here is saying the same idea, that the uniqueness in man is unique among all the creations. There's no other creation like him, whether it's above or below. Angels are in a certain sense above man, but they don't have freedom. Animals are below man. They too don't have freedom. The Ramban in this week's Parsha in Perek Beis points out that there's a certain element of freedom in animals, but it's not moral free will. The way the Ramban puts it in the Bereishis Perek Beis is that when he talks about the prohibition upon man to eat meat. So he says that's because there is a certain element of a more elevated life form in animals. This is at the end of very end of Perek Aleph, actually. The Ramban writes, "Vaya zem epnei shebali nefesh atznua yesh bahem ktsas mailas benafsham nidme lo lebali nefesh amaskel." So sort of a certain aspect of animals that is similar to intelligent life. They choose, but he does use the word bechira, in their own well-being and their food. They flee. But this type of is not the moral freedom, the yedias tovara, the bechira betov bira, that man has. So now I said before that there's a connection between man's freedom and his soul. And that's the idea that we saw in the Nefesh HaChaim, and the Nefesh HaChaim in the Meshech Chachma and others, that the bechira that he has emerges from this Tzelem Elokim. I think this is a very important point to emphasize, and it's a bigger schmooze. But I want to at least present the idea of Bekitzer right now. You know, there's a lot in when you study, when you look at the world of academia, science, neuroscience, psychology, and the like, you'll note that there is, I would say even perhaps the mainstream view to a large degree is to deny free will. And one aspect of this denial, I think probably the biggest aspect, is rooted in their perspective of materialism, meaning to say that there is nothing more to existence and to man's existence than his body. All of our decisions come from our brain. And that leads to a certain type of determinism and rejection of free will. So what does the Torah say back to that? So this is not the whole response, but I think it's a big part of it. The answer is, what the Torah says back to it, is that no, we are not just physical creatures. And our freedom stems from the fact that we're not just physical creatures, that we have a soul, that we are a Tzelem Elokim. That is the basis. That is the source of the free will. Maybe, I'm not sure I would fully concede this, but maybe if all we were our physical bodies, our brains, so then that would indeed be deterministic. But that's not true. Now, they'll say, well, you know, we haven't seen the soul. So I'll say back, well, how did you look for it? I mean, did you expect to find the soul by doing an MRI? It's not something physical. And the point being that really what separates the Torah's Hashkafa from sort of the scientific perspective is this question, as the Ramban points out, of whether we should expect to be able to, is all that exists that which we can sense with our senses? Or is there more than that which is physical? The truth is that scientists also don't really have a way to explain consciousness away. They don't have an explanation for a good explanation for the evolution of consciousness and the like. But that's a different story as well. Turning now to the Rambam's position. So the Rambam, in a number of places, we'll see in Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah, in his Hakdamah to Pirush Mishnayos, in the first chapters of Moreh Nevuchim, understands that Tzelem Elokim refers to man's intellectual capacity. And more specifically, his ability to relate to that which is non-physical, which is extraordinary. Because what it is something physical, man is physical, relating to something that's above him, that's non-physical. And that stems from his Tzelem Elokim. By virtue of the Tzelem Elokim, humans are able to have a notion of things like truth and law and goodness and obligation, and even, as he explains, attain somewhat of an understanding of the Ribono Shel Olam. Of course, we can't fully understand God. As the Meshech Chachma pointed out, if we would understand him, we would be him. But there's an aspect of understanding that we can't have. There's a mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem that stems from our Tzelem Elokim. There is a possibility of nevuah, which is communication with the Ribono Shel Olam. Where does nevuah come from? The Rambam tells us humans can have nevuah because humans have a Tzelem Elokim, which means that the human mind can contact and give expression to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea that Tzelem Elokim is a reference to the Seichel does appear in earlier sources in a number of places. In Chazal, for example, you have over here Medrash, Kidmusenu, Shiyelo Chachma Uvina Me'ein Chachma Shalmala. So the Medrash here is understanding that the Kidmusenu refers to man's intellectual capacity, which in some way is comparable to Chachma Shalmala. Rashi on this pasuk makes a similar point, as you see below, Kidmusenu Lavinu Laskil. For the Rambam, though, this is extremely important. This relates to Rambam's broader idea, which is not something we have a chance to discuss today, but the role of the intellect in Avodas Hashem. Rambam's position here is complex. Let's just take a quick look, though, at some of the texts of the Rambam. This is from the first parak of Moreh Nevuchim. V'kevan she'adam nisyached b'inyan mufla me'od shebo. Now, the Rambam's, first, whatever it is, 48 chapters or something of Uchim are all about anthropomorphisms, are all about places in the Torah where there are words that seem to imply corporeality and how we're meant to address those words. And so, of course, he starts off the book with the concept of B'Tzalmeinu Kidmuseinu. And he writes over here, so man has something that no other creation has in the sublunar realm. The Rambam over here is alluding to his sort of Aristotelian conception of the world, in which the universe, in which there are concentric spheres that are rotating. And so the sublunar world, which is our world, is the physical world. And there's something that man has that nothing else in the sublunar world has. The who, ha-hasaga ha-sichlis, this intellectual capacity, shashum chush, ever, otzelem, enam maf'ilim osa, dime osa la-saga sakel, and therefore it's compared to ha-saga sakel, asher inanan is kekes l'kli, that doesn't require a kli. Af ki lo dimyon amiti. Of course, we should understand that this dimyon is not a total comparison. It's not a true comparison. Ela lichora. Biglal einyan hazeh, dehainu, biglal hasechal ha'eloki hadavek bo, ne'mar al ha'adam shehu b'tzelem elokim uvid muso. So tzelem elokim and dmuso comes from his intellectual capacity. Take a look at Yesodi Atar Perek Dalet Halacha Ches. This is a very tough halacha. We're not going to have a chance to really flesh it out, but let's read it a little bit. Take note, the Rambam over here is going to be referring to different words, the nefesh and the neshama, which are words that emerge from these opening prakim of Bereishis. It's also noteworthy that the Rambam, in distinguishing between the word nefesh and neshama, has a different understanding than the Kabbalistic terminology that you're used to hearing, like nefesh, ruach, neshama, nefesh referring to the lower aspect of the human soul, the nefesh abahamis, what it shares with animals, neshama being something very elevated. Rambam has similar types of distinctions, but different terminology. Anyway, nefesh kol basar hi tsuraso, shenasan lo hakel, v'hadas hayaseira hametzuya benafsho shel adam, hi tsuras ha'adam hashalim bedato. So this elevated das that man has is the tsura of man, right? In other words, we have the concept of chomer and tsura. What is the tsura of man? Of the Adam Hashalim, we should point out, is his das. It's about this tzura of man, which is refers to his das, is what the Torah refers to when it says, "Bitzalmenu kidmusenu klomar." Shetia lo tzura hayodas umaseges hadeos she'en lahem golem. That man has the ability to understand non-physical things. Kemo amalachim, shehem tzura below golem, ad sheyidam et lahem. Right, so angels have a tzura without a chomer, without a golem. Angels are spiritual beings, as opposed to man, which has the spiritual and the physical component. But a human being, that relates to Rambam's position why angels can't actually take on a human form, and that's why he understands. Some of the parshios in Bereishis is referring to dreams. Anyhow, ve'eno omer al tzura zu hanikeres le'enayim shehi hapev achotem v'halisasos v'shar roshem haguf shezu to'ar shma. Right? That's not referring to the physical parts. Ve'ena nefesh hametzuya l'chol nefesh chaya. It's not the nefesh that other living animals share. So when we say Tzalmenu Kedmusenu, we're referring to the tzura of the nefesh, which is the intellectual capacity. So oftentimes it's referred to nefesh and ruach. The Rambam has developed this idea elsewhere, though we're going to skip those other sources. So here we have, that was our third understanding of Tzalem Elokim, referring to humans, man's intellectual capacity. What is Tzalem Elokim referring to? The next idea might be alluded to in Rasadion a little bit, though I'm not sure. But certainly is a major theme in the writings of the Rav. He discusses this both in Halachic Man, the Lonely Man of Faith that you have over here, as well as many other sources. The Tzalem Elokim refers to man's creative ability. He is similar to God insofar as he is creative. Now, actually, in a certain sense, this is similar to the Rambam's idea in referring to man's ability to relate to that which is beyond him, to conceptualize, in other words, not just produce that which is a direct function of the input, but rather to go beyond that. So it's man's creative ability. That is the Tzalem Elokim, the Rav says. Again, here you have the quote from Lonely Man of Faith. He has this idea many places. And this is very significant. Because the truth is all the definitions that we've been giving so far have a moral component. And the Rav emphasizes the moral component of man's being creative in that just like there's a mitzvah of lidamos to Hashem in our chesed, mahu rachum, afatate rachum, or mahu mevaker cholim, afatat vaker cholim, and the like, so too in man's creative ability. Man has an obligation to reflect this Tzelem Elokim, which is his creative capacity. In that way, he's similar to God. We see God as a creator in Bereishis Perek Aleph, and therefore, the Tzelem Elokim referred to in Bereishis Aleph is man's capacity to create, to be mechadesh. A chiddush can be true on many levels. It could be an invention, it could be a poem, and it could be chidushei Torah. Not all inventions are good, but that is man's Tzelem Elokim, a reflection of his creation. The next theme appears in a number of thinkers, including Rav Hirsch. Take a look at Collected Writings, Volume 8, page 54. We're going to see it in the Michtam Eliyahu. This is from his famous Kuntras HaChesed, which is an extraordinary piece everyone should read. Koach HaNesina Hu Koach Elyon Memidos Yotzer HaKol Baruch Hu Shehu Mirachem Umeitiv Nosein. God also in Bereishis can be seen as a mativ, as being a mativ. Hashem didn't need to create the world. He was lacking nothing. Like we saw earlier in the psukim from Eov, that Hashem doesn't need us. He doesn't need our mitzvos. He doesn't need our veros. Don't hurt him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's motivation to create the world, to the extent that we can relate to it, had to be in order to be mativ, because he lacked nothing. So when we look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu as creator, we see him as an mativ. And this refers to man's ability to be altruistic, to be a giver, to go beyond one's personal needs and parochial interests of them or their family or their tribe, and to give to others without any expectation of remuneration. True altruism, not every time I'm nice to you is that altruism. That's not unique to man. You know, I might do it because it's good for me. We have animals giving to each other, working together as a group. You know, ants are great team players, and they share and the like. That's not altruism. That's not what we refer to over here as the Tzelem Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's being a mativ. V'kacha asas ha'adam, kakasub Tzelem Elokim asas ha'adam, ki yuchal l'rachem u'lehativ u'velitein. Man's Tzelem Elokim is in his capacity to be a true mativ, to be altruistic. Again, that's not something easy and it's not something automatic, but it's only possible because Hashem is a Tzelem Elokim. I'm sorry, because humans are a Tzelem Elokim. It's in that capacity that this concept of Tzelem Elokim is realized. Another aspect of Tzelem Elokim, you see this in the Netziv to some degree. Rav Schwab points it out. I guess I didn't even include source inside because I ran out of time this morning when making the source sheets. But a concept, I think, which is quite fascinating. Tzelem Elokim refers to man's ability to handle complexity and contradictions. You know, if we compare it, for example, to a computer, which gets stuck when the pieces don't fit, human beings can embrace opposites and sometimes contradictory realities without requiring that clear-cut resolution. We talked about this earlier when we discussed Lonely Man of Faith and the mandate to hold on to the dialectical reality. And I think that's a very big part of man that makes him unique. The Chasam Sofer makes this point very beautifully, just in comparing man to angels. And Rav Schwab cites this in his commentary on the Siddur. Very fascinating idea. You know, there's a famous question that when the angels sang Shira at Kriyas Yamsuf, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, Ma'ase Yadai Tavu Tovim Biyam Batem Omrim Shira. It's inappropriate for you to say Shira when human beings are drowning, are being destroyed, the krios, brios of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But of course, he doesn't criticize man. Adirabba, it was a great milah for Moshe and Bnei Yisrael and Miriam to say Shira. So why is it? Why is it that it was wrong for the angels and appropriate for man? And the answer is, as Rosh Schwab explains, because humans have the capacity for complexity, to hold on to two seemingly contradictory emotions at the same time. On the one hand, to feel joy, happiness, appreciation for the salvation, and as such, to say Shira. And at the same time, to feel sadness, to appreciate the tragedy, the loss of human life. We could do both. At our same Seder, we could sing Shira and we could take out the cups of, you know, the drops of wine for the Egyptians that perished. We can hold on to two opposite emotions. An angel can't. That's what Chazal mean when they say, "Ein malach echad osa shnei shluchim." There's no possibility for complexity among angels. Man is unique in his ability to embrace complexity. And again, along similar lines, another way to understand Tzelem Elokim is emotion. Man is unique in his having emotion. This is an idea that you see over here in the next source of Shiri Das from Blach, the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva. So we'll just read a little bit. Kasuv Ayom Elokim Nasa Adam Mitzalmenu Kenusenu. So he points out he's going to give a new explanation. V'demushi matchunas hargeishos v'kochos nafsho shel Adam. So the demus of man is his emotional capacity, possibility for relationships, emotions. That is the Tzelem Elokim. That's what makes man unique. I know there's some questions. I'd like to just, I'll take your question, Natan, in a moment, but I'd like to just go back to what we started with, which is this question of defining what it means to be human. So we've seen many ways which the Torah says are part of the definition of what it means to be human, and what differentiate humans from all the other creations is intellectual capacity, his emotional capacity, his capacity to freely choose, his capacity to be altruistic, and the like. And I think these are all very big parts of defining what it means to be human. But I'd like to make a more methodological point over here, which is that sometimes people think that questions that are metaphysical questions can be solved by science. And they try to define what it means to be human using science, that, as it were, somehow or another, science is going to answer that question. And that is a major flaw. I'll give you a mashal, and then we'll come back to this example. There's a very well-known and important debate about the definition of death. What does death mean? And many people think incorrectly that we could look to science to answer this question. That, for example, science supports the notion that brain death is death. Now, I'm not going to share my view on this topic, and I don't even, I'm not right to even have a view. But what I will say is that science says nothing about the definition of death, because death is not a scientific or physical phenomenon. Scientists might be able to tell you when there is brain death, but that doesn't tell me that's what death is. Just like scientists could tell me when their doctors could say, okay, you've reached circulatory death or pulmonary death or whatever it is. But why that should be considered death, science has nothing to say on the matter. Scientists came up with the concept of brain death because they needed organs, but that's for a different story. The point is that it's not a scientific question. Death is a metaphysical question. It's not a physical question. Scientists could tell you about physical phenomenon, but death is not a physical phenomenon. From a scientific perspective, all the definitions are plausible. How are you going to choose? Answer for us is that we have to look to Torah. But even if you don't believe in Torah, it's not honest to say that science could answer that question. And the same thing is true over here, defining what it means to be human. So that is not a scientific question either. It's a metaphysical question. And that is why it's so important to look for us to look at the Torah and to try to turn towards these Torah sources to see what is it that makes humans unique. It's very fascinating because this question I alluded to before, the story in the Gemara addresses to some degree this question in the context of whether it's appropriate to kill a golem. How do you define what it means to be human? Where it is the geder of Ritzicha? And remarkably, you know, this question has been addressed by the poskim, Rishonim and Achronim. The Chacham Tzvi was very famous for his discussions, but both before and after. And I think that that really this concept of human beings using artificial intelligence to be able to create things that do in some way seem to be human really forces us to look at our parsha with a new lens and try to better understand what exactly it is that makes us human. And finally, and this perhaps is the most important point, that the discussion we had today should not be seen as just this interesting question, though it is, but it's a mechayev, because whatever it means to be human, that's mechayev us to live up to that humanity. L'mashal. The Meshach Chachma that Tzelem Elokim refers to our ability to freely choose, to go beyond that which is in our nature and nurture. That is not something that's automatic. We're not automatically living up to that human potential that we have. That's something extraordinarily hard. A person, Rav Volbi points out, could go their whole life without really experiencing Bechira Chafshis. So the fact that we have freedom is a mandate. We must exercise that freedom. The fact that Tzelem Elokim means the potential for altruism, that's not automatic. We have to live up to that altruism. It's very easy to live your whole life without truly doing an act of genuine altruism. That's something that we have to work on. Tzelem Elokim, as referring to Seichel, again, are we taking advantage of this gift, this intellectual capacity that God gave us? Are we pushing ourselves and stretching ourselves intellectually to conceptualize, to understand concepts and ideas that are beyond us, or at least seem beyond us, that aren't physical? Tzelem Elokim is why there's a mitzvah of Yedias Hashem. Well, are we doing that? Are we fulfilling the mitzvah of Yedias Hashem? So each and every one of these definitions of Tzelem Elokim that we've considered today is a mechayev. And that's why, that's our avodah. That's our avodah. Okay, I'll take questions now. Natan.
Yeah, one comment and a few questions. So isn't the Mechtav Eliyahu against Rav Shimon Shkapsi Sod and Shari Yosher, Chayecha Kodman and Yoch Kamori Tam Lomar Kedosh Ani?
Good question, and it might be in some way. I think that Reb Shimon is telling us one approach to become a Baal Chesed, and that is through expanding our own sense of self and building off of our natural self-interest in order to become a Meitiv, to give to others. And as a method, that might be the best method in order to do it. And that's what Chazal are alluding to in this idea. What I think Rev Dessler is pointing to is something that is also true. And I don't know that Rev Shimon is denying, which is that there's also this extraordinary capacity in the human being to truly be a meitiv. Now, that is a tremendous madrega. So it may very well be that the way in which we should become Bali Chesed is not by trying straight to achieve true altruism, but rather by expanding our sense of self. So I think there's no reason to see them as mutually exclusive, but rather different drachim and avoda as to how to become a no saint.
Mm-hmm. And the Rav's idea that tzemach came as man's creative ability. So you're saying that that's one expression, but the general idea is just his ability to emulate God, and that's one expression as a creator?
No. Well, I think tzemach Elokim refers to man's creative capacity. Like I said at the end of this year, that creates a mechayev. And the mechayev is for us to be creative. And in our being creative, we are fulfilling the mitzvah of the halachta bedrachav. In other words, there are two separate points. One is, what does tzelem Elokim mean? And it means man's creative possibility. And then number two, so what's the mechayev of that? And the answer is the mechayev of that is for us to be creative and express and realize that creative ability.
But so what did that have to do with the moral element that Rabbi mentioned?
That's the point. In other words, each one of these definitions of tzelem Elokim has a moral component. We have to live up to that tzelem Elokim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give us a tzelem Elokim just to have, but rather to use. And the Rav added that that's an expression of the mitzvah of v'halachta bedrachav. And he even pointed out, I think we talked about this earlier, that you see this in Chazal as well, that an expression of our being medama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that we should be creative like him.
So is being Rachum Mechanan also an expression of Tzelem Elokim?
Certainly, but that's not what Tzelem Elokim means.
Okay.
Tzelem Elokim means, refers to, according to the Rav, this creative capacity, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Bereishis Perek Aleph is a creator, and therefore the Tzelem Elokim in Bereishis Perek Aleph refers to Hashem as a Bore, and therefore us as also sharing in that creative ability.
And then just also the Ibn Ezra's Malach idea, is that separate from his idea about the neshama?
They're related because, first of all, angels have this elevated neshama, as he points out. But you're right that there's another question relating to a layer of interpretation, which we didn't really focus on, which is, how do you understand Elokim in this pasuk? Is Elokim, should Elokim be translated as God or angels? And that is a separate debate.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Sure, Stephen.
Hey, thank you. I had two questions. One of them was Tanya's question about whether or not Elokim referring to angels was a separate answer.
It's not a separate answer, but it's a separate, it's a separate question of interpretation.
Okay.
Now, we have to figure out what Tzelem means, and we have to figure out what Elokim means.
Okay, thank you. Also, I was wondering, in the Ramban was talking about how the existence of spirituality is a pella.
It's a combination of spiritual and physical pella. That's what Mafli Lasos means.
I was wondering...
Of Guf and Neshama.
Yeah. I was wondering if the Pella is the capacity for the spirituality to exist within the physicality, or if it's like some kind of combination that the spirituality and physicality can work together.
Right. I think what he's referring to and what the tool states explicitly is the combination. In other words, I mean, it's extraordinary that there could be anything. It's extraordinary that there could be something physical, and it's extraordinary that there could be something spiritual. But what we're referring to, what's a pella, is that these two things that shouldn't be able to coexist. Maybe that relates to the what we said, the second to last pshat of the ability, the possibility of complexity, which emerges from, you know, we can handle complexity because we are complex, and we're complex in the sense that we're comprised of two contradictory elements.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Binyamin.
Hi, Rabbi. I have a completely unrelated Yoredeya Shaila.
Okay, are there any other, we'll take that, any other related top questions? All right, so we'll talk about Yoredeya. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So